We're talking with Mike Ewall, who is the head of the Energy Justice Network. Mike has been working in Albany County on a number of clean air issues. Most recently, he has looked at the, I guess, manifest or background material for the Norlite hazardous waste incinerator in Cohoes, and has some information about how much hazardous waste they, in fact, are burning. But Mike, why don't you just start us off with a quick introduction. What is the Energy Justice Network?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me. Energy Justice Network is a group that I founded and run that is a national group based in Philadelphia, and we help communities around the country fight dirty energy and waste facilities. So we've been doing a lot to help, especially on what we understand are the dirtiest ways to manage waste or to make energy, which are waste incinerators of various sorts.
Now, so you did examine the materials that Norlite hazardous waste incinerators Cohoes burning. I believe you found that in one of the recent years, actually we're burning, 65 tons a day. This is beyond the issue of the AFFF toxic fire foam. So what were some of the things you discovered?
Right. So the US EPA has a database called the Biennial Reporting System. It comes out every 2 years, and the latest data is from 2017. And so we looked at that, and it's a monstrous database. It took a while to drill down and even find the information on Norlite, but I pulled all that information out, and that's where I found out that they're taking about 65 tons a day, and it's this is before the firefighting foam apparently started. And they're taking it from 10 different states, and it was a total of 476 chemicals that were described in that database that they've been taking from all these places. And some of the most alarming ones are ones that include lead. They were taking about 10 tons of waste that are contaminated with lead, which cannot be destroyed by burning, so that will just end up in the air or in their ash. And they were also taking a lot of things that what are called halogenated, things that have chlorine or fluorine in them, like firefighting foam also has fluorine. And these chemicals are very dangerous to be burning because they end up forming both acid gases. Most of it will cause hydrochloric acid, hydrofluoric acid, things you definitely don't want to be breathing. And that's if you're lucky. If you're not so lucky, it will form the most toxic chemicals known to science, which are dioxins and furans, which are literally 140,000 times more toxic than mercury. And there's no safe dose of dioxins or of mercury. And the fact that they're not continuously monitoring for these things tells us that we don't really know, and they don't really know, what's coming out of their smokestack of these highly toxic chemicals.
Well, but I thought the whole purpose of this incinerator, which is actually somewhat of a cement kiln to do aggregate, that it burns at a very high temperature and burns a few seconds longer than other incinerators, and therefore it's more efficient. And DEC, has a full-time monitor on site at the plant. Can't we be confident that, in fact, we're being protected from all these hazardous wastes being, sent into our air?
Absolutely not. First of all, it's called a kiln, but it's not for cement like Lafarge is for cement. But this is called a lightweight aggregate kiln. And there is nothing about it that is designed to be burning hazardous waste. And even facilities that are designed to be hazardous waste incinerators are not safe. There's no way to do that safely. It's a bad idea, no matter how it's done. But the fact is that they only, at any of these facilities, hazardous waste incinerators or these kilns, they only continuously monitor a few pollutants. The most dangerous and deadly ones, like lead and mercury and dioxins, at best, they test once a year for about 6 hours in the case of dioxins. And when they do that, they underestimate how much is actually coming out. Like when they're burning lead-contaminated products, they get to choose what day they run their test. And so I'm sure that they're running their lead test annually on a day that they're not burning things that include lead, because out of 10 tons of lead contaminated waste they're burning, they only have a fraction of 1 pound of lead coming out of their smokestack, supposedly, and that just seems impossible. So what's going on here for most chemicals, it's like if we regulated motorists the same way we regulated smokestacks in this country, we would let people drive around with no speedometer all year. And once a year on the highway, we would set a speed trap, and there will be warning signs saying, "Warning, slow down, speed trap ahead." And then the brother of the driver will be running the speed trap because the companies do their own testing. So these are best behavior tests that don't represent what's actually going on. And they have the technology to continuously monitor the stuff. And when they use that, like for dioxins, the most toxic chemicals out there, in Europe, they've used this test in many facilities. And they find that the actual emissions are 30 to 50 times higher than what we think they are in the U.S. when we test for only 6 hours per year under best behavior.
Now, WOC had, in fact, been investigating Norlite for about, well, maybe 18 months before this AFFF issue came up. And I have a vague recollection that, in fact, I read a couple of times that they had done a dioxin report. And basically, they sort of failed on it, but they were like, you know, we'll get better in the future. So do you have any evidence that they actually are really paying attention and keeping dioxin at a, you know, at some level that gives some assurance of public health?
Well, no one can know this because no one in this country is using continuous testing technology for dioxins. And it's been tested and approved, this technology, by EPA about 14 years ago. They verified and tested four devices to use for this, yet no one's requiring it outside of a few places where I've managed to get local laws passed in Cahoas in one case, and in Pennsylvania and in Baltimore, Maryland, where the local government is setting a stricter standard and saying that continuous monitoring is necessary and that they have to put the data on a website real time for the world to see. That is the kind of regulation that would be state of the art, and that's what's needed to really know what's coming out. Anything else is their fantasy, their best case scenario. And if, when they fail that, it's hard to fail an open book test. But sometimes that happens, but most of the time they don't because it's inadequate and they control the testing situation.
So Mike, we have a little bit less than 3 minutes. So I'm going to ask you a two-part question to finish up with. You know, what should be done, you know, about this Cahoes Norlite incinerator at this point? And second, you know, how did the Energy Justice Network come to, you know, focus on Norlite in Albany County?
Sure. So I got involved in late 2017 when I was helping people in Hartford, Connecticut deal with their trash incinerator that is falling apart and the state was looking for alternatives. And one of the alternatives they were looking at was burning 50 to 70 tons, about a third of Connecticut's trash, at the Lafarge cement kiln in Queens. And so I reached out, and over the December holidays, and in a 2-week span, I reached out to all the county legislators, the officials in Ravenna and Cahoas, and within that 2 weeks, a majority of each body came out forcefully and said, hell no, we're not going to let this happen. And then Lafarge basically came back and said, oh, well, we never were going to burn trash. They backpedaled on that, but said, we really want to burn tires, and they fought us for 2 years over that. And so the town of Queens hired me to develop the Queens Clean Air Law, which they passed a little over a year ago. Unfortunately, the people who took over the town don't want to enforce it, so we're now working at the county level. And in the course of all this, I learned about Norlite and their hazardous waste burning. And so we're working with county legislators to pass a county clean air law that would affect both facilities and prevent any of this firefighting foam burning at Norlite and any kind of waste burning at Lafarge or anywhere else in the county.
So we've been talking with Mike Ewall, Energy Justice Network. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. If people want to find out more information, both about your group and, you know, maybe some of the research you've done, you have a website, Facebook page?
Yeah, they can look up Energy Justice Network on Facebook or energyjustice.net on the web. And if they want to go to energyjustice.net/NY or add /NY/Albany to the end, you'll get some of the more specific local information.
And I do know that the local people, I believe their Facebook page is Lights Out Norlite, Light being LITE. Thank you very much for joining us today.